Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Okay, try again.
I think this close is good.
Yeah, that's probably fine.
Am I still doing it perfectly?
Of course. Hello, and welcome back to the For Him podcast. Today's episode is a little different. I'm having a conversation with my parents about faith, God, and what that looks like in our lives, highlighting that this is different for each of us, but it is equally important in recognizing and reflecting on this. My hope in this episode is that it sparks something for listeners as well as it does for each of us while balancing this honest conversation with gentle reflection, pointing us all to God in a non-pushy way. The scripture that I want to use throughout this episode is Jeremiah 29:13 that says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." So whatever that means for you in your heart and your own personalized relationship with the Lord, I just want to emphasize that scripture in the beginning and as an anchor for this episode. I'm also going to frame each question that we answer with a scripture as well that aligns, but just felt that this was an overarching verse for this episode. So without further ado, I'm going to let my parents introduce themselves.
Hi, For Him Podcast. My name is Corey, and I am Kelsey's father.
Hello, this is Monica, Kelsey's mom.
So the first question that we're all going to be answering is, what does faith mean to you? And for me, this is really just trust beyond a feeling. It's a foundation to feel firm standing on, regardless of my external environment or circumstances. It's one that really helps me to rely less on myself and more on God as I consider my faith in my decisions, my desires, my outlook on the world around me. My faith has changed how I view the people around me, how I understand my purpose, and above all, how I recognize my need for God. It really went from something that was super meaningless in my life to the center of my life. And while my passion for or strength of my faith may waver at times, because it has become foundational, the existence of it never wavers. Also, in growing in my faith, I have learned that God is constant, and faith is my response to that. It reflects my belief in Him. And overall, faith in God has shown me that I can rely on something far greater than myself. All right, Dad, if you want to answer that one.
First off, I think we may need to change up the order because I don't want to, if I want to keep following such eloquent answers like that. But faith to me, I think, is first believing in God and then trusting in God and believing that He will deliver on promises, on His promises, though we may not be able to see them.
Yeah, that's good. Mom?
Well, the literal meaning of faith really is having belief or trust in someone or something without having physical proof, like not seeing it with your own eyes. And I think that's where the term like blind faith came from. You can't see it, you just believe. And so having faith means that you believe in God, even though you physically maybe haven't seen God with your own eyes.
Yep, exactly. The trust beyond the feeling, which is why it's so difficult for us as humans and especially those who are realists. But like a muscle, the more we exercise it, the more it grows. And then the verse that I had that aligns with this is Hebrews 11:1 that says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." The second question that I have is, how did or does your upbringing shape the way that you think about God?
Okay, I'll answer that one first this time. So growing up, my parents did not attend church. I was baptized, though. I was baptized Catholic, but they would drop my brother and I off at a Pentecostal church every Sunday. I attended till, I'm not sure what age it was, So I had some exposure growing up. And then as I got older into my teenage years, I dated a girl who her and her family attended a church regularly. So I believed in God, even though I didn't attend church on a regular basis.
You guys should have seen my mom's face whenever he talked about dating a girl.
You dated other girls? So my answer, my upbringing. So my parents were, I think, more spiritual than religious. And I'll kind of describe what I mean there. And my extended family was more religious, and I'd say strong Christians, like aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents. And we all lived in the same town, basically. So they were all influential. So spiritual to me means like seeking connection with someone or something really greater than yourself. So it may or may not include a God, but the focus really is inner peace, love, and connection. And religious to me is like belief in a higher power, like God. And it's more organized and formal. There's a place where people gather together, like church, or whether it be a mosque or temple. They have organized readings and scriptures and words, like the Bible or other written words. So my parents didn't really attend church often, didn't really pray outwardly. It's not like I prayed with my parents every night. We didn't go to church every Sunday. We did read from the Bible and go to church at Christmas and Easter. We were that family. But my dad did read from the Bible and teach us a little bit about Christianity and God. And I was getting a lot of that from other family members as well and friends. I was baptized as a baby also. So my cousins were some of my best friends, and we would stay the night together a lot on Saturday nights, and their parents made sure they went to church every Sunday. So I knew if I was staying the night with them, I would be going to church. And I had some friends that would go to church regularly. So I did get exposed that way. Went to Vacation Bible School. I was in FCA in high school, Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And really, those things I wouldn't say were super influential, because at Vacation Bible School, I probably colored color sheets about lambs. And in FCA, we talked about sports and other things, and I don't even really remember a lot of that. We played volleyball more than we talked about spirituality or Christianity or faith or anything. But I did take a confirmation class in high school, and that's where I got my first Bible, and that's where I learned the most, probably. And we do pray before meals at family gatherings and stuff. So I was doing some of the things, but I didn't really have in-depth conversations about it. I didn't read the Bible regularly. I didn't go to church regularly. And if I did, it wasn't because I really wanted that relationship. It was just because that's what I would be doing if I was there on Sunday. So I'd say I had the belief and I had faith, but didn't have the relationship. And so that's kind of starting to grow and change. And a lot of it is through Kelsey's influence. So, power to her.
Yeah, I think in all of this, we kind of realized that exposure only gets us so far. If you really don't have that experience or your heart isn't in it, it doesn't usually translate from the belief to a relationship, kind of like my mom said. And funny enough, I have a pretty similar story. I realized that this question is a lot deeper than I initially thought for me, though. I didn't grow up in the church or with much biblical teaching, kind of like they said, yet I was surrounded by people who reflected Christ very well, almost unintentionally, in my opinion, in ways like their sacrifice and patience and unwavering love for me, which it's so sweet to look back on and realize that I caught a glimpse of God's character before I ever even really understood who God was. And it at times feels strange or almost wrong to think how long that I did live without truly knowing Christ for myself, but I do believe that coming to him later in life gave me this deeper passion, understanding, and commitment than I could have had otherwise. In all of this, I realized also that God knew my heart and how to reach me, and because of this, I wouldn't have had it any other way. It really just taught me the intentionality of his timing. Also, a blessing in my journey is how individualized it's been, stemming from my conviction rather than obligation to attend church or read the word. First, kind of learning my need for him before I even learned him. kind of the why before the what. And so all that to say, my upbringing helped shape how I came to understanding God through lived love, through timing, through personal encounter that made my faith my own and eventually pointed me to his love in full. And then a verse that I found that kind of tied all of this together is Proverbs 22:6 that says, "Start children off the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it." Kind of showing that our upbringing has a good impact on our faith throughout our life. Next question we have, do you think it takes having faith to be a good person? Why or why not?
Okay, I'll take this one first. My personal belief is yes, I think you can be a morally good person, kind, loving, patient, selfless, you know, have strong moral compass, be law-abiding, all those good things. So be a good person without having religion or faith. A lot of non-religious people have strong moral values and have done wonderful things for others, whether they're small acts of kindness, you know, buying coffee for the person behind you in the drive-through line, or widely impactful acts that affect like entire communities of people. And those people don't have faith. So I think that, yes, you can be a morally good person without faith.
Yeah. And Dad, what do you think?
Well, I know you're going to think this is crazy, but I actually agree with your mom. I think people...
What?
I think they definitely can. And because this is going out to the masses, I won't mention any names on your podcast. But there are several people that I do know that are good people. I've seen how they treat others. I've seen how they parent. And they do just a great job with that, even though they may not have the most faith in the world. So the people that I'm thinking of are really good people.
Yeah, I think those are some really good points. And when I initially read this question, I had very similar thinking. I think when I kind of dove deeper and thought about it more in a religious sense concerning God. Well, I'll just get to what I think. I think you can be seen as a good person without having faith through the lens of society, as we've created morals, laws, and norms that shape how we're ought to be a good person. So by those measures, I definitely believe that somebody can live a life that looks admirable or good to others. However, through God's lens, I don't think that same good reason or those same good acts that might be perceived as morally correct to us are truly good, because the intention behind them is always still tinted with some form of selfishness. Without God, I think even our best actions are still rooted in self-protection or self-promotion or self-purpose. And on the surface, it might seem or feel good, but deep, deep down, like I said, I think there's some other motive. And like, for example, the thing that my mom brought up earlier about buying a coffee for somebody behind you in line, in hearing that scenario, you wouldn't think that that sounds selfish whatsoever, but I think in doing even small acts of kindness for others, because we are selfish by nature, we know that that's going to make us feel good or feel better. Same with giving gifts to others or setting apart that time to do something for someone. Although that might not be the initial motive, I do think that that plays into why we continue to do good things or be morally good, because we know that we will in some sense get praise or promotion or a round of applause, a thank you, something that will make us feel good or look good to others.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I see what you're saying. And I do think that a lot of times people do things like give gifts or buy some coffee for someone or whatever, because they know that'll make themselves feel good, but they also want to do something nice for other people. So maybe it's has, I guess, two reasons for doing it. But do you think there are people out there that just want to do something for others just to help others and not get any praise. Like, they're never going to be thanked for the coffee. They really are just doing it because maybe they saw the mother struggling in the car with four kids behind them and the car's broken down, and you know, they just feel like, oh, I should do something nice for these people. Look, they're having a hard time. Do you think that some people might be morally good and not have any selfish act in it at all?
Yeah, and I don't want to sound too controversial in this because I know a lot of good people, like my dad said as well, who don't have a relationship with God and are still my friends for a reason, because I see them as very good friends, very good people. And so I do think that somebody can do something out of the kindness of their heart and not be considering themselves first. But I think subconsciously, whether it's on the forefront of our mind or not, why we're doing it, we already have this understanding that it's going to come back to us in some way. Like how a lot of people who aren't super strong in their faith are like, oh, that's good karma, kind of. And I guess I'm also biased because I'm looking at my own life before Christ in my life now, and when I would do things for others beforehand, I felt like it was a lot more for selfish reasons than now. And I'm not saying that now that I have a relationship with Christ, I'm just not a selfish person, because at the end of the day, I'm still a human. I'm still obviously going to be a sinner and selfish by nature. But I do think that truly surrendering my own desires and trying my best to live for someone else outside of myself has changed my perception and approach to service as a whole. And so that's kind of what shaped my answer as well. And obviously, it's okay that we have separate answers. Kind of like I said in the beginning of this episode, that's the whole point, is to realize that there is difference and reflect on that and know that that's fine. And that's why the question says why or why not, because it's not a right answer. But in my answer, all of it to me kind of points to our need for a savior, the only one who is truly good, who is Jesus, somebody outside of ourselves to save us from ourselves. And faith isn't about proving that we're a good person. It's admitting that we aren't and then allowing God to make us less like us and more like him. And the Bible touches on this a little bit as well in Romans 3:23-24, that says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All are justified freely by his grace." Okay, whole new topic of conversation, but the next question that I had in here was, can you share a moment that solidified your belief in God when you felt that he is real or was close to you?
Yes, I definitely can. I don't think I realized it at the time, as I was in a coma, but after surviving a medical scare, I realized from speaking with you and mom, family, and friends about how many people had been praying for me. I was very close to dying, and on top of what the medical team did, which they did a great job, and all the decisions that mom had to make during that time, I think the prayer warriors and the power of prayer really helped me pull through in the long run.
Yeah, that was a scary time for sure. And actually, that's kind of the example that I have where I felt like I was the closest with God and I needed to lean on God. And I was hoping that the power of prayer is as strong as people said, because that's exactly the moment that I think of. It was a life or death situation. They basically were like, call the family in from Canada. This is our last ditch effort. And so it was touch and go, and never prayed as much as I did in that moment or those moments, several weeks. But I have one other example to lighten the mood. Shall I tell that?
Yes, please do. Be my guest.
My pleasure. So this was in high school. I was actually at FCA Boys Camp in Colorado. Yeah, she looked at me funny. Boys Camp, and I'll explain. My uncle was chosen to speak at FCA Boys Camp. He had a ministry. And my cousin and I got to go on a Colorado trip. And so here we are, two high school girls at boys camp, and we were told that we were not allowed to come back the next year because we were too distracting and the boys were not focusing.
But surprise, surprise.
That actually, believe it or not, my aunt and uncle, if you're listening right now and thought that we were just there to be flirting with the boys, I actually did have a moment where we were doing worship and singing, and I've never like felt this feeling before, but just something came over me and got all teary-eyed. And I remember praying with my cousin that night in our bunk beds. And so that was kind of a cool moment that was even, you know, many, many, many moons ago.
Yeah, I love moments like that when you, I mean, that's truly just being in the presence of God. Like, you can't really explain it. You just know that it brings emotion for what almost seems like no reason. I feel like I experience that a lot whenever I'm worshiping, and it's super sweet and really cool.
Yeah.
It's funny that all three of us thought of the same situation when we heard this question, kind of about my dad being in a coma and how difficult that time was for all of us, and because of that, how near we are to God. And I think this is how it tends to be for a lot of people, that they run to God when they need God and they don't run to God when they're fine by themselves.
Yeah, I completely agree. Yeah, so I thought I was a professional speaker, but I also get tongue-tied. No, I was just going to say, I completely agree in that I have reflected back many times on how, you know, like I said, I've prayed more than I ever had prayed before and harder than I ever had before, and asked people to pray during that time when your dad was sick. And I think back on it like, oh, it's not good to really just go to God when I need him to answer a prayer, but try to remember to pray that hard and that often all the time.
Yeah, which we are humans and God is well aware of this. So he obviously still meets us in this with grace whenever we do just call on him when we need him and not in the good times as well. But think of it like any other relationship. If you only went to someone when you truly needed something from them and then you really expect that person to deliver, I feel like that's not very fair. And that's why it's really important that we maintain a relationship with God daily. Good days, bad days, hard times, good times.
Absolutely.
Anyways, although I wasn't Christian then, I look back and I know that God was with us and God knows us and loves us long before we ever realize it. But for me, my personal reflection of this question in a moment or moments that solidify my belief in God or realizing that he is real, I know God is real, and seeing how he moves and has moved in the lives of my people and strangers in my own life. Seeing those dots connect of seeking him and then finding him when I truly surrendered my desires to him, I watched my deepest longings completely change, wanting a lot less of me and a lot more of him. And that was outside of my nature. And so it just pointed back to only him. He changed my heart. And even in the testimonies of my people, I've seen how God has transformed their lives, or moments at church, kind of like I said earlier, seeing strangers being brought to tears by simply being in his presence just solidifies over and over again that God exists and that God is at work, God is moving. Guys, our mics have died maybe 10 times throughout this episode, and like my mom just said,
I think this is an exercise in patience for me.
An example of God being at work once again. Another thing that solidified my belief is the way that he moves in these moments and how that aligns with his word. Kind of my education of God telling me that he's real, but my experiences with God showing me that he is real and solidifying this belief, being the evidence of what I have been told. What I know in my head and what I feel in my heart, pointing to the same truth that God is real and that when we seek this, we find it. Which we are told in James 4:8 that says, come near to God and he will come near to you. All right, the last question that I have is, why do you think reflecting on faith is important?
So I think it's important to reflect on all kinds of things on a regular basis to grow, like your career, marriage, kids, yourself. There's all kinds of things we should reflect on, and you can't grow in any of those areas without reflecting how you're doing. and how to get better. So it's like, can I do more to be impactful at my job or as a spouse or mother? Can I just be a better person? How can I be the best version of myself? You know, what can I do to strengthen my relationship with God? So I think it's important to reflect on your faith, and not only to reflect on it, but most importantly is to put those thoughts into action.
Exactly. Like I will be talking about in my next episode, faith without works is dead. And so not only is it important that we reflect, like she said, but that we do something about that reflection, that we turn that realization into action.
I agree. I think reflecting on faith consistently helps strengthen and grow your relationship with God. I think in anything we do in life, consistency is key. If we aren't consistent in what we're doing, we're going backwards, we're not growing. And I think an analogy that kind of reflects this is someone who wants to get in shape. If you don't consistently work out, you're not going to get stronger, in better shape, and ultimately be more healthy.
You know where your analogy habit comes from now.
Yeah, I smiled so big whenever he said the word analogy because he knows what podcast he's on. For me, I agree with everything they said, but just kind of to build off of that, it also keeps us humble. It reminds us of our need for God and therefore brings us closer to him and helps us better glorify him when we over and over reflect on where we still need growth, where we're at, how we can do better, and how to do better. It also keeps us intentional, which we need, as faith doesn't grow by accident. It grows when we seek, when we question, when we let God shape us. And in reflecting, I'm able to recognize where I've grown, where I need more of God, and how he's been faithful along the way. So ultimately, reflection isn't just a practice, but it's a part of staying connected to God and moving forward in my relationship with him. And just to prove that I'm my father's daughter, I'm going to throw in an analogy too. Kind of like what I've referenced before. When it comes to our faith and our relationship with God, it's like swimming upstream. And so if you don't put the effort in, you will naturally float downstream because there is no being stagnant with God. You are either growing closer to him and learning more, or you are subconsciously separating yourself more and more from him by not putting in the effort to keep that relationship. So yeah, this was awesome. I am truly so grateful that my parents were open to sharing and talking about their faith. And so I want to thank you guys and let you know how much gratitude I have in this and how much joy it brings me. It, like I said, looks different for each of us, which makes it so special, as it's not about having the same story or the same relationship with God. It's about being willing to share, reflect, and continue seeking him.
Thanks for having us, Munchkin.
Oh, no.
No, I just want to be proud Mama Bear for a second and really thank you for having me on, us on, and thank you for being wonderful, being you, being our daughter. I'm so proud of you in your walk with God and for this podcast that you do, and I know that you are touching a lot of people with it. So I know that's your dream and your goals. So keep up the good work.
Yeah, ditto what she said.
That's so sweet. I wish I could just keep that recording in my back pocket and listen to it all the time. So my dad just randomly said my slogan of Raw, Real, and Unfiltered, and it made me realize that I forgot to include that in the beginning. So just know that we have been raw, real, and unfiltered about faith through generations. And if you take nothing else from all of this, I really hope that you take that faith is about seeking God, finding that he will meet you where you are, whatever that looks like, and then choosing to continue to take steps
towards and for him.
Thank you guys so much for listening.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.